Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hi, it's DJ Target, and I am on the DJ Diaries.
Hello and welcome to the DJ Diaries. This is a brand new episode, a podcast from Lara Fraser and myself, Laura Pradelska, where we invite DJs to come and chat with us.
And today we are so excited. We have DJ Target on the show. If you don't know the name already, he is a DJ, author, radio host, TV personality, and essentially the creator of Grime.
Oh, don't pin that one on me.
I had to. Now, we're so happy to have you on the show today. But before we go into everything about your career, we do a quick fire.
Yeah.
Ready?
I feel like I'm ready as I could be.
You're going to be so ready for this. Let's go. Or Grime?
I have to say Grime, really, don't I? Even though I love Garage. And without Garage, there wouldn't have been a Grime, but I'm going to have to say Grime.
Can you elaborate a little bit?
UK Garage was a scene that was so big, started the noughties here in the UK, and the first generation of Grime MCs and DJs, which was including myself, we were all into Garage, and it wasn't until we started to kind of, I guess, make our own take on Garage and speak about the stuff that was going on where we lived and where we were from. That's when the transition from Garage to Grime happened. So I think if there wasn't a UK Garage and all of that influence, then I don't know how Grime would have actually started.
If you had to pick one lane to stay in, and that is between TV, radio, club DJ, or author, for the rest of your life, you couldn't dip into either of them. They're just the one thing you had to do.
Oh, that's a tough question, but I'd probably go radio because it all started with radio for me. When I was 15, I'm on the radio nearly every day. I still love playing and sharing music, and not to say I don't love doing TV or writing the book was great fun, even though I actually don't even know how I did that. And club DJing is amazing as well. I think out of all of them, I think radio, if I had to pick one, if you literally like had a gun to my head, I'd be like, okay.
I got a gun to your head.
Let's go with radio then.
You know, you are a very well-known DJ, DJ Target. It's a name that's very well-known within the industry, but you must have had some shit gigs as well.
I think every DJ's had those nights where things have either gone wrong. Technically, there was a period when I tried to go from, at the time, I was still using like CDs. This is going back like years, but people were transitioning into using, you know, laptops, Serato, and obviously the attraction was like you can have all this music on your laptop and you don't have to carry around this bag of CDs or whatever. So I went for it, and I had a nightmare a few months on laptop and Serato and laptop failures mid set. In front of like 3,000 people.
No.
Crowd like, boo.
So what, the laptop actually like shut down, or was it because you were accessing internet?
No, I had like three or four, I had one where the laptop got wet because it was going crazy and it was an intimate club and drinks and things were splashing and that wasn't
splashing. Yeah, sorry, go on.
Let's just be clear. Drinks were splashing.
Oh, okay, good.
Oh, no. Whatever. Things were splashing.
Laptop was in danger. I had the shutdown moment where the laptop just shut down. Battery wasn't dead. I don't know what happened.
That's just you on stage. Yeah, just by me, yourself and everyone. Yeah,
And the whole crowd just looks up and thinks.
Did you jump on the mic?
I must have jumped on the mic. Yeah, I must have done something to mitigate. Because I remember just thinking, shit, they're booing me. Like, this is my fault. And what else happened? Yeah, Serato just, I had a bit of a nightmare with Serato, the program crashing. Mm. So I came away from that and just, now I just use
USBs.
A couple of USB sticks.
Are you CDJs then, yeah?
Oh, yeah. CDJs. Mm. USB stick in my pocket.
Record box?
I don't even use record box. I just literally load all my tracks onto, because I came from learning on vinyl.
You already know the BPMs and stuff. You don't need record box.
There are some good tools that come with those things and like you can do all kinds of stuff from mixing in key to cue points and whatever else. But like I said, because I came from the age where it was like
vinyl,
mixing on vinyl and you literally just have your ears as your, they're your tools. Luckily, I built up a pretty solid foundation on there. So moving over to CDJs, where you've got, you know, it's digital. It's there's more assistance. There's more things that can help you to mix. Mm. I find it really easy to mix. Not to say I couldn't benefit from something that like what Rekordbox does, but be fair, that all happened because it was more time consuming. I just slapped all my records into folders and onto USB, and now I just turn up and.
But that still takes time.
It does take time.
It still doesn't just happen overnight.
No, and I'm bad at updating my USB. So.
Oh God, aren't we all?
Yeah,
we all?
Especially over the pandemic, I didn't update them for like over a year because I wasn't doing anything.
What was the pandemic like for you?
The pandemic was all right because I had a daughter as well, so.
What's your daughter's name?
Her name's Eden.
Yeah, shout out to Eden.
She's
shout
two and a half. She's got her own
little does she have a little kit?
Oh yeah, 100%. She's got her own little kit and she's like, she tries to get up onto the chair and gets onto my CDJs.
Oh, yes.
And
is that a good thing? Are you supporting it?
Yeah, I'll support whatever she wants to do, but she's like singing. She's reenacting scenes in Frozen and then it's the DJ and the music. So like and she's only two, so she's got a long way before she decides. But I can see that she's definitely got a musical ear and a performer personality.
Brilliant. Right, so you're obviously one of the hosts of a massive TV show called The Rap Game. Mm. I wanted to ask you, who do you think is doing the most for UK rap at the moment?
In general. As an artist?
Yes.
Mm. You've got to look at the obvious ones like Dave and the Stormzy's of this world who have taken it to like, in terms of taking their craft to like, the highest pinnacle, like when you see Stormzy headlining Glastonbury or you see Dave, I just see Dave the other day headlining Wireless, and I've seen them both perform so many times, and each time it's just like they've just leveled up each time, and it's like that's the blueprint, that's the kind of the marker. If you're trying to be one of the biggest artists to come out of this country and to take it internationally and to be able to headline these festivals and
be consistent, right?
Yeah, and be consistent. Yeah,
and making like UK rap and grime popular music as well. It's coming to mainstream pop now.
Yeah, 100%. And I've got to mention Central C as well because it feels like Cench at the moment is really...
He's having his moment.
He's having a big moment. Not just here, like he's huge all across Europe. America is now picking up on him. He could be one of the ones to really bridge the gap between... Which is getting smaller as well all the time, but there still is a bit of a culture gap between UK rap and US rap. But I think slowly but surely they're...
And Pop Smoke was a big person.
Yeah, Pop Smoke, because he was on a UK sound production-wise, so that was a big bridging moment. Obviously, Skepta's been and done crazy things as well. So, like, the guys who are really taking this UK thing and flying the flag and putting us on the map outside of the UK.
It's down to people like you as DJ and as a radio presenter to put these people on the map. Do you socialize as well? Do you hang out? Do you have a relationship to the artists?
Obviously I'm older than the likes of the Stormzy's and the Daves and whatever, but everybody, even like Central C, I was playing Central C in 2016.
Yeah.
And like the relationship for me with a lot of these artists has started with me being maybe the first person to play them on the radio or give them an early break at One Extra. So we have that early rapport and relationship. So as they grow as artists, the relationship grows as well. So I've got relationships with like everybody.
That's kind of what I wanted to know also for someone starting out, you know, are they okay to contact you and say, hey, I've got the song, would you play it?
I tell people all the time, like, don't be afraid. Don't be that person who sees me out somewhere. Because sometimes I'll be out and I can sense it. I know that somebody's itching to say, you want to say it. You want to say something. And
DJ Target!
Not like in a fangirl type way, but like, especially artists, because having been able to stop and speak to not just me, like somebody else who's in my similar kind of position, you've got to take those opportunities. If I walk past you in the street and you're an artist, and you've got a USB in your pocket, and you don't stop me, and you don't say anything, and you just let that moment happen. That's really
awesome that you're open to
now
that.
But you have to be like that.
Can I just say, even to get you on the show today, I literally just slid in your DMs. A lot of the people that we've previously had on the show, we have personal connections to. But I think it's great that you even responded, because a lot of people, you know, don't check their DMs and don't give people opportunities and stuff. So
And it's just Lara and I, you know.
That's what I mean. And I liked the look. Like, I was like, right, this is two females doing their thing independently. They've got a podcast about DJs. Like, had a quick look at who else that you had. Like, I just liked, I wanted to be able to come and support these kinds of things. It means a lot. Do you know what I'm saying?
And it's not something we ever take for granted.
No, not at all.
You know, we still grind and grind.
Yeah, of course. And I get, because I think it's, because I came up like so super grind, like it was such a grind to get up pirate radio, being part of Roll Deep. So I understand what it's like when you're on the artist side and trying to get your music played. I remember when One Extra first played our music and it was like such a big deal. So now I'm on One Extra and now I've got these different platforms and opportunities that I can share. I'm all for it.
Sorry, what was the transition like from Roll Deep? Because obviously you came up and then transitioned over into radio.
Yeah.
What made you make the change away from being, I guess, an artist?
I think, to be fair, radio was literally my first thing. So even though I was in school at the time, I was doing pirate radio, which is obviously is different from doing like a national BBC
show. Yeah.
That's where my that's love. Now listen, all the greats started on pirate radio.
My God.
But no, that's where my love for sharing music and
being a hustle.
Yeah, it's a hustle.
Yeah.
So. Being a part of Roll Deep, the radio thing was always still going on at the same time in the background. But it was more of a group thing. So we'd have a Roll Deep show on the radio. Mm. I'd be one of the DJs. There was a few of us were DJing and the rest were MCs. And then I eventually ended up having like a solo radio show on Rinse FM, which is where where it started for me. And I think from there, that's where I was like, I can host my own show. I can do a show. Because I was given a daytime show on Rinse and the policy at the time was no MCs in the daytime.
Really?
Yeah, at this particular time. They were trying to just like clean up the thing. They was like, right, MCs in the evening. You could play MCs, but you just couldn't have MCs on the show. So I was given this daytime show and Genius was like, can you just host it yourself? And I was like, you want me to talk? Like, you're joking. Like, I literally, like, the thought of turning on a mic and talking was like I even when I first heard myself back, I couldn't listen to myself for about 6 months. I just couldn't get my head around.
So me and Lau always say on our first show we literally had sweat patches. Do you know, I don't think people
this
understand
pressure, people don't
the
realize.
Nerves of when you first get on a microphone. We were like shaking like this.
Literally, because
it's daunting. And so I did that. I eventually turned on the mic,
so you just jumped straight in, right? You
I kind of like wormed my way in, but eventually I was hosting the show, talking, got more confident with it, and probably like a year later we got invited to come and do a Roll Deep show at One Extra, but they asked me to kind of be the anchor. I think they was like, there's 10 of them, they're from the hood, we need one of them to control it. So like I was given that job basically. But they really liked that, and then off the back of that they invited me to come back in and do a solo a thing that they had called Extra Talent, which is about showcasing new DJs and whatever. It's like 4 a.m. on a Sunday night, like a terrible time. Even so, like on the last the week I was like, because you do it for 4 weeks, I almost didn't turn up. My alarm went off. I was like, I literally can't get out of bed. I literally can't go. Yeah. But something just said, no, go and do it. So I went and done it. Cut a long story short, that turned into me filling in for a few shows here and there, and then eventually got offered a show on One Extra.
It's which amazing. Now turned Thank you into for five. Sharing that with yeah. us, because I think a lot of times people just go, this is unattainable. Yes, it is attainable.
I know, it's 100%. You have to work really hard, right? You have to be like, I'm from East London,
yeah.
place where there wasn't tons of opportunities.
Yeah.
I've worked my way up. There's been no like handouts or anything like that. And I think anybody listening who, whether it's DJing or some other ambition or hobby that turns into a career, like yeah. if you put in the work and remain passionate and just don't be a dick, like be nice to people.
Dick. Do you know that? No. It's actually really funny. Our first guest, Garrick Powell, who came on the show, we're like, what advice do you give? He said, don't be a dick. Yeah. Like,
it sounds pretty like a broad piece of advice,
no,
but
so
you'd
be kind.
Surprised it's... like how many people who just come up or the first piece of success they see, they'll change or they were just a dick the whole time. Like it's one or the other. So I've always just tried to remember like to just stay grounded, stay who I am.
Thanks for not being a dick and coming on our show.
I know you started the Rap Game UK with Krept and Conan, and that's still going at the moment. And I'm personally a big fan. I watch it, absolutely love it. Apparently this season you've been able to pick the talent a little bit more.
Yeah.
What are you most excited for?
This series is the best one. Yet. Yeah. I think me and Krept and Conan were saying that from like the first couple of episodes, we were like, nah, this feels like the levels have gone up. I think last series, we felt like, and no disrespect to any of the artists who came on the show, because there were some real moments and there was some standout talent, but we just felt like the competition could be a bit more tight and a bit more close, and we want it to really represent what's happening in UK rap music. So the levels are high out there, so we want the show to represent that. And as much as it is a competition and somebody wins, the show for us, we really enjoy the journey of the artists from when we first meet them in episode one to when they leave after the final, and how they've grown in confidence.
Do you get close to them? Do you feel like you
like we feel like they're like, yeah we do. Like even from artists who are on season 1 and 2 and 3, like they'll still hit me up and message me and ask me for some advice or send me music, and I feel invested in their careers. So we do, and we spend quite a lot of time with them over the 6 weeks. We're up in Manchester, we're filming every other day or whatever. What was the actual? I've just gone.
Oh, I said, what are you? I said, what are you most excited for?
Most excited about this season is just how close knit the competition has been, and we always have an input and we always have like a say on the challenges and stuff, and even the cast. But this year we were adamant. We were like, we want to come to all the early casting meetings. We want to see the early casting tapes, and we really wanted to make sure that we had our stamp on who could actually be in the show. And yeah, I think this year it's just leveled up.
How involved are you in the concept of writing the show? And is this yours?
It's all part. We didn't write the show.
No, are you? But,
oh yeah, we had to be because.
Yeah, so you're producing it essentially.
I wouldn't say we produce it.
It's based on the American one.
Yeah, it's based on the American one. But as soon as we were approached to even do it, we were like, oh, right, this has to be authentic to the UK.
Right.
It's got to be credible. Plus, me and Krept and Conan are putting our names.
Yeah.
On the tin. So if anything's wrong with it,
it's you.
It's my fault, or it's Captain Conan's fault. Yep. So we're aware of that. Yep. We're aware that the public, they don't know who's behind the scenes. So we needed it and wanted to make sure that it's something that we could be. That's what we said in the beginning. Like, if we're going to do this, we want to be able to, no matter what happens, no matter if 10 people watch it or a million people watch it, we want to be able to say, well, we did it justice. We did an authentic show. We kept credibility in there. We didn't turn it into some cheesy thing just because it's on TV. We wanted to really have that connection with the artists. And we did that, and season one just went berserk and was nominated
really
for BAFTAs and this and that. And yeah, we're here now, season four. And
this is the best one to come,
This is the best one, yeah. We're filming the final tomorrow.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh my God, is there any spoilers that you can give us? Can I have an exclusive?
This will probably be out. Well, this is the first year that not all of the contestants may make it to the final. So usually all six make it. So this year there's only three that make it to the final. So that's a first. I'm really excited to see how that plays out. I don't know who's going to win. I literally have no idea.
That's good.
I was really wondering, because you said you had a daughter, Eden, you know, and you've been doing all these crazy things and big gigs. How do you actually balance?
I just turn down work now, yeah, which is something I didn't really used to do.
You like, say no.
I say, yeah, like now I have to want to do it. It's got to make sense, like financially and socially and in terms of like my family life. Yeah. So whereas a few years ago, I might have been DJing three, four times in 1 week, going up to DJing Preston or Carlisle or just these really, not that I don't want to go to these places.
No, I know.
But it's like,
but it's
I'm having a lot of effort and it takes a lot of time.
I'm weighing up. Yeah.
Do I want to do that gig? Or do I want to stay at home
the
weekend?
Right. It's the 4 a.m. and it's...
Yeah, 100%.
I don't know, do you drink? Do you party?
I drink less and I party less than I used to. Yeah, I'm good. Because I'm so busy, I've got so many things going on. Like because outside of the TV and the radio and the book, and I've got a record label, publishing company, TV production company now. So like, these are all things that are stuff that I need to be able to work on. Plus, I have a daughter.
Yeah.
I want to be able to spend... Yeah. as much time as possible. So I want to take her to nursery. I want to pick her up from nursery if I can.
Yeah.
As much. So I'm having to, and I'm on the radio 5 nights a week. So
that's a lot.
It is a juggle, but I feel like I've found a good balance of being able to do the both, even if it means me doing less DJing or less, just less work that I feel isn't,
Do you still get the kick when you go out and DJ? Oh, and thousands of people. Do you still get that feeling? Do you still have the? What would you describe it?
Like? I have more passion than I ever did. I think last year when I did Reading Festival,
because
it was the first year back last year,
and
I hadn't done any festivals for like 2 years. Yeah. Like when I came off the stage, I had a lump in my. I didn't realize like. I knew I'd missed it, but then when I actually played and I came off and it was like...
It doesn't compare, right?
Yeah, I didn't realise that, this is my actual life.
On that, what is your pet peeve as a DJ from the crowd, one, and from the venue, two?
The crowd... It's hard to blame the crowd for anything because you're supposed to be the person that's... So if the crowd... I was about to say, like, when you go somewhere, and, you know, it's just... They haven't come here to party.
Totally.
Like, this crowd isn't, they're not here for
there's
this. Yeah.
You can do.
But it's not, yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a little bit annoying, but that doesn't happen very often.
Whatever they're on, it's just not.
It's only certain types of events or venues that would happen with.
But what about like requests or people coming behind the booth or, you know, that
I've
sort
had
of thing?
Fair share of that back in. Probably when I used to do a lot more of the club circuit.
Yeah.
And you know, like, it's just unruly and you turn and it's like, this chick's just...
I wasn't going to go there because I know you're...
Never mad at the people who... That's not to say that I wouldn't want them to leave me alone or Or sometimes I wouldn't want them to leave. I'd say, cool. So it's like, it wasn't... I need to have my booth and it needs to be...
And really quickly, just one more time about Reading, because it seems like... Because I love Reading. It's one of my favourite festivals.
Yeah.
And it just... I don't know, I've been going since I moved to the UK. How many people did you play for?
Oh, I think the one extra 10
Yeah, it's
like
got to be 10 to 15, 000. Right?
No, it's about 6,000.
Six, wow.
But it was like full.
Because also we'd been in lockdown for so long, was it just like crazy?
Yeah, crazy. And then I did it again the other day because it's back
around. Did you do the second one as well?
No, because remember last year, 2021,
yeah,
Reading and Leeds came back, but it was later in the season.
Yeah.
I think it came in like September.
Yeah.
And so that was the first festival I did after the 2 years of no festivals at the pandemic.
Wow.
And yeah, that was like the emotional one. But then this year we've had, all the festivals have been back, so I've done loads of them. But then I did Reading and Leeds again this year. But the Reading, particularly Reading, the one extra stage, because there's a one extra stage there, like it's always just...
That's so good.
Just crazy. But my favourite festival is Glastonbury.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, what's the best gig you've ever played?
Yeah, let's go into the good.
The best gig I've ever played? Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a hard one, isn't it? You're like, I got too many good ones.
I'm having flashes of like early on in my career gigs. Like, I think some of the ones that I did early on that were like the first, you know, like the first time I played.
More underground, would you say? Or
they would have been then, yeah. It would have been a lot more underground. But then first time playing at like an event like Sidewinder, which was, even though it was an underground event, it was 5,000 people at the Sanctuary in Milton Keynes. And like, when you're coming from pirate radio and like East London, the hood, like being able to do that, that was like Wembley Stadium to me then. Do you know what I mean? But then fast forward years and years later, being able to like playing at Ushuaia, somewhere like that, or High in Ibiza.
I just went to High last week.
Yeah, so like their moments.
Do you still love that? Are you still totally up for
like,
that?
I love, and because I'm not genre specific, I'm into, even though I'm known for like grime and I've come through that route or whatever, like I still play garage or house or sometimes drum and bass.
You're fucking good house like, DJ.
I'm into all different types of music and
Are you also into it yourself?
Yeah, I'm into it, cool. I'm going to Ibiza for Monday.
I'm
playing, but I'm going for a week, so.
Oh, lucky man.
I thought, let's just stay there.
I'm
playing on Tuesday, but I'm going Monday for the whole week.
Where are you playing Tuesday? Do you remember?
I'm playing at Craig David's thing.
No way! Yeah. You got any spare tickets? You know?
Well, you could just get a guest list. It's easy.
Yeah, okay. All right. So I wanted to ask, what's the one song you will go to shut down the rave, wherever you are?
Well, there are a few that are like, you can't fail, you can't lose with. But then again, it still depends. Like, say for instance, I'm at a festival, there's a few classics that you know, no matter what's happening, if you press play on this tune, this whole tent's gonna sing it.
Yeah,
gives a name.
Yeah, so that could be literally something like a classic, like a Show Me Love,
totally,
which is so obvious and so huge.
Yeah. I'll dance to it.
But at the same time.
But if it's played in the right spot of your set.
That's what I'm saying, it's how you play it as well. Because every DJ can step up and play Free From Desire and do you know what I mean? No, but it's how you play it. But it's how you play it and when you play it.
Free From Desire has saved me many times on gigs. Yeah.
But then there's also drill records that if I'm playing in a certain place, I know that if I press play on this Central C song, for instance, or this Tion Wayne song.
Knowing your crowd, isn't it?
Like, because I play at a Radio One's Big Weekend on the dance stage, but then I'm playing at Notting Hill Carnival, and it's two completely different vibes. Yeah. But because I just change hats.
I think that's what's really interesting to me and also to Lara, because we are multifaceted. I'm an actress, Lara is a producer, and you know, you can do it all. You can be on the radio, behind the radio, in front of the scenes, behind the scenes. It's really great to have you on and also give people hope that it is possible.
To have multi parts of a career.
To be multifaceted, you know.
Yeah, 100%.
I wonder, someone starting out, you know, and looking up to you and listening to your show daily and going, oh my God, I'll never be that guy. What can I do? Oh, I'm too old. You know how it is.
Yeah.
Is there an advice you have for them? What would you say to someone starting out? And can you be too old, or can you start any time?
I think as long as you are bringing something, especially now, because the age we live in, like the internet age, so social media, like you have to have something that cuts through all the noise. Like you've got to be bringing something unique or doing something that's either different or better than what's already out there. Otherwise, you are just another name on the list of have God knows how many names. So I think as long as you work hard and you're passionate and you're in it for the right reasons as well, like, because it looks, nowadays it just looks like it's an easy job to do. I could just play music and I'll get paid and I might get famous.
Oh,
same with being an artist. Like, some people are like, they're not really musicians, but it looks cool and I can write a lyric and look how easy it looks. So you get that across different professions. But I think if you're a DJ specifically, or just getting into the music industry, whether that's a presenter or whatever, so if you're just passionate about your craft, serious about it, work hard, create relationships and be persistent, and don't let the word no like completely ruin your confidence or shut you down, I think you have every chance. You are going to have to work hard, unless you get crazy lucky, because some people do, but it's definitely possible to do it. You don't have to be 16 and starting out. Some people start later on in their 30s or later in life than that. Like, it doesn't, it's not an age thing. It's a who are you thing. Like, who is your, who are you as a person? Are you prepared to put in the work and do what it takes to stand out and be different?
I'm going to ask you, what would you tell your younger self, like back in the day, to the kid in East London? What would you tell him? You know, because, do you know what I mean? Because what would you say?
I don't even know. What would I say to him? He would be very excited about this, the older me. I'd just say keep going. Like, trust your instinct as well, because there's things that I had an instinct about, or I feel like a lot of what I've done has been like through like manifestation and
yeah.
I know some people are like, oh, that's all bollocks, but
no,
it's real.
It's things I imagined when I was like a kid that I've literally done.
Absolutely.
Later in life. And it's happened on so many different levels, like a small little thing that I could have looked like really hoped and wanted and dreamed of, like, or something huge, but on both levels. So I believe that. So I think just to my younger self, I would just say keep imagining, keep dreaming, and just keep going. Like, don't. I wouldn't give like one solid piece of advice, like, don't do this or do that.
Yeah.
Because I think the younger version of me was just excited and like wanted
but
to
you still
see
seem
how
to
far.
Have that.
Yeah, I know. I know. It's
and
weird.
That's probably the secret also to your success is that you're excited and.
Right, I'm a little conscious that you have to get out of here by one.
I'll just chat forever.
Is there anything that you have coming up that you can let our listeners know what to watch out for? Anything that you want to give a little plug?
Listen to me on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun. Seven to nine on One Extra and on Saturdays as well. We're making... the book I wrote, Grime Kids, is being made into a TV drama. So we're filming that at the moment. But yeah, we're filming that right now, and it's going to be coming on BBC Three in the new year. But
I know you got to go, but I got to know what is it like to see your story unfold. Like, is it a little bit?
Is it really surreal?
Surreal, and is it also psychologically a little bit cleansing? Kind of like you're coming full circle in a way.
Is it cathartic?
Writing the book was definitely like that, because it was me just pouring out all the stories. Well, not all, some.
The rest goes for the second chapter, right?
Yeah. But no, doing the book was definitely like, felt like that. And then this TV drama is based on the book, and it's based in the real times, but the lead characters are like five fictional characters that are living amongst that whole pirate radio world that we was in, and we're in it. Like, I'm actually in it, which is weird, like a younger version. So seeing it happen and being on set, it's just weird. I have to keep stopping and saying, wait a minute, this is... so strange. Like, there's 200 people running about.
Like, pinch me moments.
Yeah, like, this is all off the back of something that I just sat on my laptop and just wrote by myself.
I was going to say, did you write it all yourself, or did you have a ghostwriter?
No, completely.
Wow.
Every word myself.
Because that's a whole talent in itself, being able to articulate in writing.
I didn't even know I could do that.
Wow.
Do it, man. It's really great for you to come in here on the peak of your career.
I know. We're
really
so thankful.
Really, really big deal for us. And I really have to say thank you. I know you have so much going on, and that you take the time out to do this is a very big deal to
I
us.
Think for me, like really I said before, it's like, it's important. And as much as I do it as a DJ, like I'm always playing new artists, I'm trying to give as many people like a foot up, like it goes outside of just the DJ. And so like what you guys are doing, if I can help come on and,
you have.
And it's not just supporting you, like this is also good for me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Come on.
You know what I'm saying?
it just means a lot because, you know, having that, the fact that you're doing, you know, you wrote this book, you wrote Grime Kids, now it's being made into a film, you've got this TV show on, you're on the radio and DJing, and that's what a lot of people
aspire to.
And a lot of people sit at home and maybe jobless and maybe wondering what to do and listen to you and be inspired by you. So the fact that you took the time and came in, spoke to us, means a lot.
Guys, that is DJ Target. Thank you so much for coming on.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.